Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Late motion from Hawes, handoff to Cook. Cuts it inside. He's got the first down through a hole. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, James Cook. 45 yards to the end zone for a Buffalo touchdown. Four-man rush. Allen has time. Looks down the left sideline, and it's complete to Gabe Davis, who's wrestled to the turf, but he's out to the 28-yard line. It's a 22-yard pass play and a first down. No, it's a play-action fake. They fire to a wide-open receiver in the end zone for a touchdown. It's Christian Kirk for a 2-yard touchdown reception. The Bills bid on the play-action fake to Chubb, and Kirk was wide open. Looks right, now left, throws in the flat to Marks, who's buried in the flat. Matt Milano labeled him for a huge loss at the 39. Back to pass, pocket collapsing, Allen in trouble, and he's tripped up and dropped for another sack. This one by Daniil Hunter. Pocket collapsing, fires, and it's complete for a first down, but the ball is fumbled by Shakir, scooped up by Houston, and coming the other way is Jalen Reed, the safety. It's a turnover for Buffalo as the fumble was forced by Kalen Bullock, the safety.
Okay, well, this is could be an interesting show today. We have a reaction extra point show today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you here today to talk all about everything you just heard and more about what went down in Houston last night. The Bills falling 23-19 to the Houston Texans. And of course, every single Friday on the Extra Point Show, it is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8 by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. The differences today are, today's show becomes more of a Monday type of reaction show. Not a normal Friday where we have Sean McDermott. We're obviously not having Sean McDermott. We will have him later. He will speak, I should say, to the media a little bit later today to update injuries and things like that. There are plenty of injuries to get updated on from the Buffalo Bills last night. So we'll hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later. And we're going to take your phone calls today on what went down. So a reaction show today. And, of course, you can jump into the YouTube stream as well and the bullpen. And that is at WGR 550 on YouTube. So check that out. Let me just adjust my camera a little bit there. So you have to go up and down. Because I am today at Studio Capaccio. There you go. So I'm at Studio Capaccio today. And hopefully everybody can see me and hear me okay. Because we're ready to hear from you on the phone lines at 803-0550. Thanks a lot for coming in. As always, we got Robert, IDL716. We got Mega. We got Jiglia. We got Bill C. User T numbers, I'd just like to say AC man, as always, thank you, 999 something here, JT from USA. So yep, I'm seeing you. I got you there, and you guys can kind of talk right there. And as I always say, the bullpen is free to you to talk, but it's really probably not for me to talk to you in very much today, because I'm going to be taking phone calls and walking through what's going on and what happened last night in Houston. So we'll get right to that here. A really tough night for the Buffalo Bills offense, especially. Started off with a tough night for the Buffalo Bills defense. They actually turned it around, though. The Bills defense held the Houston Texans to 60 yards of offense in the second half. In the first half, the Houston Texans had a total of 201 yards of offense. I mean, think about that. You're like, how do you give up 200 yards of offense and a half to a Davis Mills-led offense? 201 yards. The Texans finished with 261 yards. So they finished with 60 yards in the second half. First half, not a good performance by the defense. They turned it around. First half, not a great performance by the offense. Second half, even worse by the standard of scoring points, making critical plays. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And you've had time to digest it. I have not listened a ton this morning to Jeremy and Joe. And partly, well, there's a few reasons that I actually joined them. If you want to hear my segment earlier with them, you can find that. But I actually joined them this morning. Otherwise, I really didn't listen much. And there was a couple of reasons. Number one was I got back on from Houston last night at literally the sun was coming up, I think. It was like 5 in the morning. And had to get some rest in before this show. But the other part is, you know, I just didn't want to be kind of, I guess, tainted in what I thought you might be saying and wanted to be more organic today. Although I can kind of predict it because that's what we do here. This is a reaction show. And I know where a lot of the reaction is going to go, but I want to hear you talk about it and your thoughts, which are basically fire this person, fire that person, right? Get rid of the OC, bring Brian Daboll back. It's time has come for McDermott. It's time has come for Bean. If that's what you feel, you have every right to call up and talk about it. I'm not going to stop you. I think there's important things to remember here. That is that the season is not over, although it feels like it. Even Deion Dawkins said that last night. Feels like it's the last game of the season. It's not. Season's not over. But what the Bills' goals are for the season feel like they're slipping away rapidly, right? Feel like they're slipping away rapidly. Meaning, not only getting the one seed, which is pretty much kind of, at this point, you'd say like a pipe dream, right? You'd have to win out and have a bunch of teams lose. But even winning the division, which I think going into the season seemed to people, and even myself, I would say, like a foregone conclusion. And I know you shouldn't think that way, but because of who the Bills have been and are, and because of who the division has been and we thought might be, it seemed like almost a foregone conclusion that the Bills would win their sixth straight AFC East championship. You wake up this morning, there are two losses behind the Patriots and a head-to-head loss behind the Patriots. So as of right now, not only do you have to beat the Patriots head-to-head, you basically have to hope for them to lose two more games on top of that and you to win out. Because you got to finish ahead of them in the standings due to tiebreakers. Unless the Patriots were to lose to the Dolphins or the Jets, then the tiebreaker becomes a little bit different. Then it's conference. And even then, Patriots have a 5-2 record. The conference, Bills 4-3. So it's an uphill climb. Bills find themselves right now in the sixth seed of seven teams in the AFC. And this week, the Jacksonville Jaguars play the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, I think they're favored in that game. They should win. And if the Jags win, they tie the Bills in the standings. And I think they would be passing them, actually. Bills would be a seventh seed. They can't fall any further than that this week. But if the Jags win this week, the Bills could go to seven. Now, Chargers are off, so I guess that wouldn't matter. Pittsburgh is playing, so that could matter with Baltimore. But you get the point I'm making here, which is the Bills are a lot closer to the playoff cut line at this time than they are to winning the division. And that's not a good thing to see. We've seen it before. After 12 weeks of season in 2023, after 12 weeks in 2023, the Bills were actually 6-6 and in the 10th spot in the AFC. They still won the division because Miami collapsed and Deontay Hardy returned a punt a long way for a touchdown to win. But the Bills were 6-6 and in 10th place in the AFC after 12 weeks of 2023. In 2022, after 12 weeks, The Bills were in the fifth seed at 8-3. Better record, but one spot higher. And they still went on to win in the division. The difference this year is you have a New England team in front of you. Hey, there's two differences. You have a New England team in front of you who just isn't slowing down and has a very doable, gettable, winnable schedule, if you will. But the second difference is I think we all see and feel that this team is not the same team that it's been. And that's where we need to start. It's not about last night's game, right? I think last night's game has been a bit of a microcosm of what this season has been for the Bills. It is a roster that does not have enough answers when things are pressing on either side of the ball. Yes, they have injuries, and that plays into it. You can't make excuses for that. Every team has injuries. No doubt the injuries are hurting the Bills. Michael Hoyt's injury certainly hurt the defense. When he came back, he was going to be somebody that could help them. Offensively, they have some wide receiver injuries, but I don't think that's been an issue. Dalton Kincaid's injury, certainly. Not being on the field, he probably definitely would have helped last night. But let's be honest, even with Dalton Kincaid in the lineup, this offense has serious flaws. And I think that's where a lot of you have been going and want to go. Yes, the defense does too. And yes, the defense has issues and gets run on. The defense stepped up time after time last night, I thought, to give the offense opportunities. It's never about one thing, one side of the ball, one person. The offense isn't just about Joe Brady. It's not just about play calling. It's not just about the roster and the wide receivers. It's not just about Josh Allen. It's everything. The offensive line last night, certainly. And that's where I think when I get a lot of reaction on social media at Sal Sports. By the way, last night, like, I knew it, right? Game's over. I'm like, hey, what's your arrow up, arrow down? And how many people said, no arrows up. Terrible. Nobody deserves one. Well, that's your job as a fan to be emotional reactionary, and I get in the moment you feel that way, but that's how you feel, right? Which is everything's going wrong, it's snowballing, and this team is just not in position. I'm not about to sit here and maybe you want to like just give the season up and think that, oh, play for draft choice. I think that's dumb. You don't do that. You still need to try and get in the playoffs and try and win. And in fact, there could be an argument made, to be quite honest with you, that this year being in the playoffs, I know you want the one seed, but if you're not going to get the one seed, the argument could be made it might be better to be a wild card than there would actually be the 2, 3, or 4, because the 2, 3, or 4 are going to host either Buffalo, Baltimore, maybe Kansas City, whereas the 5, 6, or 7 might go to Denver, Indy, or Pittsburgh, or New England, right? I mean, it's kind of wild like that. I'm not saying it's a better position. I get it. But get in the playoffs, you never know what happens. But right now, I'm not confident that how many wins this team's going to get down the stretch. I think they're still better than the Pittsburgh Steelers, better than the Cleveland Browns, better than the New York Jets, better than Cincy, I think, even with Joe Burrow, because of their defense, I think, but who knows about that? Don't know. I doubt they're better than Philly. I don't know. They got a lot of their own issues. So you're probably still looking. And then New England, right? I think they're right there with New England. I can't say they're better than them right now, the way New England's playing. I think they are, but not with the way the Bills are playing and New England's playing. So you're still looking at probably a season where sitting it here at this particular juncture, 7-4, maybe 11-6 gets you like, okay, we're the 5 seed or 6 seed. And then you see what happens. But I want to get your overall thoughts on what you saw last night, where you want to go with it, and how you fix it. There is one thing I will tell you that's not going to happen. They're not firing the head coach today. They're not firing the general manager today. You might want that to happen. It's not happening. They're not. If you want that to happen, and maybe it happens at the end of the year, if this team misses the playoffs or even bows out early, who knows? I mean, there could be a change. But as much as you may be frustrated or want them or have wanted any of them fired. Now, the OC, I don't know. I mean, there was a change made at OC in December a couple years ago. So I would never take that off the table, especially with 10 days to go, 10 days before the next game. What I mean by that is, even though Sean McDermott said, you know, Joe Brady's the offensive coordinator, no consideration of changing him a couple weeks ago, we've seen that happen before in December. Granted, it was maybe a couple weeks even before this, you know, this particular time period, but it did happen. So how do you get the answers from internally? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have them. And you just try to hold on for dear life and see what you can do. 803-0550 is the phone number to call. Where do we want to go first? Okay, let's, by the way, thank you very much for calling up here. Oh, you know what? I'm going to have you, for the first caller here, Joe Kelly, bring up Jeff and DePew, and then I will refresh my call screen from here. So you bring up Jeff, and then I'll do that. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on first. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, well, where do we start? Joe Brady, gotta go. How many times do we see the same plays over? Number two, the end of the season, McDermott, goodbye. You're not taking us to the Super Bowl. I called last year and I said that. He wouldn't take us to the promised land. He's not going to. And number three, Mr. Pegula, wake up. You see what's going on. Do something. You are the owner of the team. You run the show. Wake up. And the last comment, playoffs? Did you say playoffs? Ain't happening.
Okay, I disagree with the last point. I still think they're a playoff team. Let's go to Clover in Texas. Thanks for the call. Clover, hi.
Hey, Sal, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you, Sal. I know you had a long night, long week. You know, after sleeping on it, it's just, I thought this was just a tough assignment for these Thursday night games. They don't really set you up for success. You know, what I saw on Sunday, I thought they, you know, after coming off that Miami loss, I thought they just made some great adjustments in the game planning to win at Tampa Bay. And that was still a tough game. I mean, they went all out. And then to turn around game plan for this, travel, you know, still dealing with injuries, and the number one defense I heard you guys talking about all week was just really tough. And then, like, you know, just there were so many things that were set up, like, that happened that just put them in a tough spot. The field position I heard you mention on Jeremy Joe, that was rough. I heard Joe talking about that last touchdown drive before the half and how just it was so bad they gave that up. I mean, you know, if they didn't do that, you know, we might have won the game. But I was just wondering what you saw as far as the defense being tired, because I know there was kind of a decent drive that they – and then they got a stop, and then Allen had the interception, so they had to get back on the field, and then they got another stop, and then Davis had the return. So then they had to get back on the field again. So I was thinking that they were probably tired, you know, with that minute-and-a-half drive to go. And maybe that's why they just had a tough time stopping. But I think moving forward – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. You asked what I saw. I agree. I think they were tired. The time of possession, Clover, in the first half was only a minute difference. Texans a minute and a half more than the Bills, 15:42 to 14:18. But I do think that last drive, you go back and look at it. Let me just take a look at it real quick. They got the ball. They had the ball. They went 12 plays, 57 yards, the Texans.
Oh, wow.
And then wait. And then they get the ball back. They punt. They go 4 plays, 5 yards after the turnover. And then you have the kickoff return touchdown, and it's 6 plays, 75 yards. So, yeah, they were on the field in that second quarter quite a bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think moving forward, I mean, we saw Sunday. They have the ability to look at problems and respond. That was a really great response on Sunday. I think Gabe Davis is going to be really key moving forward. And then, you know, maybe they could get a different role for Coleman. But I think with 10 days to prepare for Pittsburgh, I think they're going to be fine, you know. And I just don't think the sky is falling. With, you know, I just think they're going to be okay. But I appreciate you, Sal.
Yeah, Clover, thank you. Thank you for calling from down there in Texas, where I'm sure it was tough for you yesterday in the Lone Star State to watch that happen. Yeah. By the way, 9 minutes to 6 minutes in the second quarter for the Bills, Texans to beat the Bills into prime possession. But I do think just overall, that's right. They were a little bit gassed. And what I saw in that last drive was it just looked like they were playing almost like a prevent. We'll give up the yards, but then yards after catch hurt the Bills. And that was a huge, huge swing in the game, no doubt about it. As far as Gabe Davis, man, keep thinking this morning, if Gabe's second foot comes down in bounds, it's so close, what is the conversation this morning? We're still like, oh my God, they got by and they can't keep winning games like that because of the offense, but you're still, what a difference, you know, waking up today to 8-3 because of his foot comes down in bounds. Not by any fault of his own. He made a nice catch, but foot doesn't come down and he's out of bounds. And here you are at 7-4 this morning. John in North Buffalo. Hi, John.
Hey, Sal. I must say, Joe Brady in the offensive line last night had the backbone of a chocolate eclair. I mean, 8 sacks. Josh was hit over 20 times, I think. I mean, the reason why we aren't winning the division this year is because of coaching and a weak GM, without a doubt, and it starts at the top. At the end of the day, though, it doesn't matter. Nobody will get fired. And, you know, the book is out on the Bills, I think, and how to stop them. They are probably, at this point, one of the most predictable teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, some of that was on Josh, but certainly most of it was not. I mean, you know, you do have to say Josh should have thrown the ball away a couple of times, took a couple really bad sacks, stepped up into a couple pressures, but there was just too much pressure right away. And rarely have I seen this Bills offensive line get beaten physically the way they did last night. They were beaten physically last night, and rarely have I seen that from this offensive line. It happens once in a while, but usually not to this degree, at least. I mean, those two edge rushers, we said it going into the game. Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, I mean, those guys getting after it. I mean, really got after it. And it was a tough assignment and task, but the Bills didn't help themselves. And Joe Brady, maybe coming up with answers, chipping, helping out, double teaming on the edges, that didn't happen enough, maybe. But Josh also didn't help himself a couple of times trying to play hero ball. But why does he play hero ball sometimes? It's because he's looking for something to develop that doesn't develop, and it's not there. And that's tough as well. Let's get to Rush in Amherst. Hi, Rush. You're on WGR.
Hey, Shale. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
I want to talk about the offensive line here.
Yeah.
You got two huge tackles that are very good players. And you're going up against the number one defense, and neither one of them guys showed up. I know Brown was hurt, but I saw Dawkins quit on a bunch of plays, just let the guy go by. They're asking Allen to do way too much in this situation, number one defense. These guys got to step up. I mean, come on. You got the greatest football player ever play the game behind you, and they can't hold a block for more than 2 seconds on these two guys. I mean, granted, those guys, they're the best in the game. There's no doubt. I haven't seen that. That 51 is probably the best rusher I've seen in a long time.
Wait till you see Myles Garrett in a couple weeks.
Yeah, this guy is better than him, believe me.
No, I don't think.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I don't think so. He's great,
know,
but Miles.
Dude. I don't
okay,
know.
Well,
I don't know,
well, but let me tell you this. Deion Dawkins, just for a little preview, has said before, and he will tell you, the toughest guy for him to ever block is Myles Garrett, and I think Myles Garrett is the best in the game. But anyway, the point is, you're right. He's really good. I mean, he's great. Last night, what you saw from that. But I'm just telling you, think those guys were really good. Wait till you see Myles Garrett. The difference is they have two of them in Houston, and they showed it last night. Let's get to Brian down in Florida, Boca Raton. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Sal. I hope you're doing well today. I know the tough one there last night. But, now that I'm thinking about it, I just want to say the Deion Dawkins false start penalty on 4th and 1, inexcusable. You can't do that. The game on the line, you're a 10-year veteran if you're making a mistake like that. But I think Sal, this goes to a bigger thing here. I've called into your show before. I've mentioned about the program that the Bills have. We're now in year 8. We do not have a Super Bowl. We do not have a Super Bowl win. We don't even have an AFC championship. We have let the prime go by with Josh Allen. We have continually every year drafted poorly. We have made poor free agent acquisitions. We are now past the prime in the NFL within that first 5-year window. That really is kind of your window to win with a once in a generational talent like Josh Allen. We are past that. Now we can see where the cap is. We can see the talent around Josh Allen. I hate to say this, and it's extremely critical of me, but the accountability now with the program and the whole trusting the process, defending our dirt, everybody eats, this is not working anymore for this team. I know it's a drastic change, Sal, but in order for this team to take the next step, Terry Pegula is going to have to make some incredibly difficult decisions here in the offseason, and I think they need to be made with both your GM, Brandon Bean, and the head coach, Sean McDermott. I'm looking to bring, honestly, Brian Daboll. I think he had a great rapport with Josh Allen. He got Josh Allen on that offense to go, and I would also try to bring in Joe Schoen if he gets let go of New York. But I'm telling you, from a program standpoint, this is not the same Bills team from 4 or 5 years ago. You don't see that energy. And it's like every year there's something leaky. You have a defensive line that can't stop anything this year. You're 31st in the league. You have 153 yards a game going against you. You know, in other years, you know, our secondary has struggled, or lack of wide receivers for Josh. I mean, what do you think really needs to change in order for them to finally climb that mountaintop and win a Super Bowl for Buffalo? Because other than making a severe change, I don't know how this team can go any further. And I do think they'll go to the playoffs, but they're getting bounced in the first round. You can't stop the run in January, you're finished. So I know it's critical, but
all right, Brian, thanks for the call. It's Daboll and Shane, by the way. That's how you say their names. Just so you're aware. Brian Daboll, I've heard his name float around a lot since last night. I mean, Sean was asked McDermott point blank if he would consider bringing him back in any capacity. He said that's not under consideration. I think it's, you know, there's out there like about the two in their relationship. I don't know. I think that's a bit overblown, but either way, I don't see it happening. Brian Daboll's getting paid by the New York Giants to do nothing essentially while he can wait for his next move. I'm sure he'd love to be a head coach again. And if you want to be the next head coach for the Bills, so be it. I would point to the fact though that, you know, he did not have a good record as head coach in New York, but also look like they found their quarterback in New York, and he did have a rapport with Josh Allen. But if you want those kinds of changes made, they are drastic, and it's something that I don't know if Terry Pegula would have the appetite to do. It is interesting. I've read people today, and I want to, by the way, Paul Hamilton is going to join me in an hour because I do want to at least get a little preview on the Sabres tonight. But I want to ask Paul too, this really interesting question, because I think you can look at it both ways. There are people who say, fans, you, I've read you and you, heard you say that, like, Terry doesn't do anything in hockey. Why would he do anything in football? He actually has done. The Sabres have had 7 head coaches in the last, since the drought, since they fired Lindy in 2013, in 11 years. I'm sorry, 12 years now. And several GMs, right? So that's a lot. So I do think there have been shakeups and changes made. I think it's your perspective, though, because the GM they currently have has been there a while and they haven't made the playoffs, the Sabres, that is. So I think that's where people get to, he's too patient. So I don't know. I don't want to get to right away. It would never happen. I don't know what it would take to happen if that's missing the playoffs entirely. And a lot of you want it to happen sooner rather than later. I think you still need to let the season play out. We'll see where it goes. 803-0550 is the number to call. Good start to the program. Really appreciate all of you. Thoughtful calls. I know a lot of you are very upset today. And rightfully so. The Bills played a poor game last night from top to bottom. And now they find themselves in a really tough situation here in mid to late November. 803-0550 is the number to call. Watch it, the show. Hey, watch it out there. Watch the show on YouTube at WGR 550. Get involved in the bullpen as well. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back with more of your phone calls on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Last night, Amazon Prime. Joe, how was the broadcast last night? I haven't gone back and watched the TV broadcast yet.
It was okay. It wasn't... I just... Owen and I were talking about this earlier this morning. I have trouble getting behind the whole... We both pointed out the Herb Street thing where he just doesn't seem to know the players' names. And, I mean, if you want to go back and listen to any point in the morning show, Owen had a phenomenal point made about it, but he's just calling out numbers 90% of the time. Like, he doesn't... I don't know. Like, that's one thing I pointed out. And then the play clock stopped working. Did you notice that down on the field at all? Like, did you see the play clock stop?
Oh, yeah. They announced it at the stadium that the play clock would be... held from the referee.
Yeah, okay. And then one other thing with the referee, the one that the unfortunate injury that happened in the end zone, they showed a replay of that on the broadcast.
What happened to Adrian Hill? Did he like hurt his calf or Achilles? I don't even know.
It looks like he popped his Achilles. All of a sudden he was jogging and then he lifts up his foot, he's hopping, he can't walk.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't see exactly the injury, but we saw him go off the field, helped off, and then we saw him get into a cart. And I was just adding that to the monstrous injury report, by the way, from the night, right? I mean, it's like at that time, you're like, okay, let's add Adrian Hill. By the way, Adrian Hill went to the University of Buffalo, the referee last night. Did you know that?
I did not know that. It's pretty cool.
And he went to the University of Buffalo, and he's literally a rocket scientist. He like propulsionary nuclear engine, rocket engineering or something. I don't even know. Something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Officiating's the part-time job, right? Is that?
Yeah, it's exactly right. That's exactly right. I didn't have a problem with the officiating last night. Bills made a couple of critical penalties, especially on returns. The field position all night was terrible partly because they were hurting themselves with penalties on returns. The first kickoff and the first punt, they had returns, penalties that put them back inside their 10-yard line.
Yeah.
So,
it was like clockwork. Every return, it was just yellow on the graphic down at the bottom. You couldn't get away from it at all.
And then you're like, okay, let's hope there's not a penalty on this one. And Ray Davis takes one to the house on his birthday, by the way. I was wondering how many people have ever had a kickoff return on their birthday in the NFL for a touchdown.
That's a good question.
Ray Davis did that last night at the age of 26. Herb Street, by the way, I posted a picture on social last night, not on Twitter, on my Instagram, but in case you haven't seen it, his dog, Pete.
You met him?
It's great. I did. I got to meet Pete on the field. And the reason I say it is Pete wasn't at the Bills game. He was, but he wasn't up in the press box area. So I didn't see him. And then, so I saw him on the field. I'm like, I got to meet Pete. Pete is a great dog. And literally they take the picture like, Pete, look at the camera. And Pete looks at the camera. It's crazy.
He's media trained.
He's media trained. Yeah. So it was really nice to meet Pete down on the field with Kirk Herbstreit last night. All right, by the way, the Barnes Firm injury report is when we talk about all these injuries brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. A lot last night that happened that we'll hear from Sean McDermott later today in the at 4 p.m., I believe it is, where he will speak to the media, give an update on Spencer Brown, Terrell Bernard. That looked bad. He was in a sling afterwards, friendly fire, so to speak, if you want, with Matt Milano coming in at the arm and seemed like the arm and elbow bent the wrong way. Spencer Brown, his arm was in a sling in the locker room after the game. He went back in, but then he came back out. You had AJ Epinesa get his neck checked out. He went back in. Khalil Shakir, I think it was a shoulder, but he was clear to go back in. Max Harrison left the game early, did not return. Head evaluation for him. I don't even know. I might be missing somebody because there were just guys that were dropping out. And that's this Thursday night stuff, man, that people talk about. Right. Yeah. So last night, not only, you know, losing the game, but losing players last night for the Bills. And that's been happening all year for them. Okay. We will, if we have time, we'll hear from Sean McDermott. You know, but in the meantime, let's just keep firing up the calls because I'd rather hear from you than play that sound at this point. But I will play the sound at some point if we have some time. But I want to hear what you have to say about last night. Let's get to Mike in Colorado. Hi, Mike.
Yes, good morning. First of all, I want to tell you I personally appreciate your dedication. I know you have a family and you know, you're working on a lot of short days a lot of times. So I don't want that to be dismissed by some people. But
I just say that, you know, I know what I got into in this business and I love it more than anything. I appreciate you saying that. It is a rough morning sometimes like this, but especially when the Bills lose and you know that you're going to have to, you know, have to kind of walk through it with the calls and things like that. I appreciate that. But you know what? We're here and then we'll have a couple of days to kind of reset a little bit. So thank you for that, Mike.
Okay. Let's get into it here a little bit. The offensive line got totally immaculated last night. You know, Deion Dawkins, I think he's getting a little too comfortable in his own celebrity. You know, key to the city. Oh, I race cars. Oh, yeah, I'm quite the personality. How about staying with some blocks for a while? How about that? Second of all, defensive line. Who is the coach for the defensive line? This has been an issue for quite a while. Who's the coach? So can somebody give me a name?
Yes, they have defensive line coaches. They have several of them. Marcus West is one. Ryan Nielsen is another. And Jason Rebrovich is another. They have several defensive line coaches.
Well, okay. Well, the one or two or three of them, whoever it is, some second-tier firings should be in line. I realize you're not going to get rid of the main people. It's, you know, it's mid-season. They're just not going to do it. But some second-tier firings should be in line, and maybe, just maybe, it would shake up this team. I think you need something that's going to maybe shake this team a little bit to maybe start, you know, having some people think, you know, you may be able to coast to a 10 or 11 season, you know, victory, you know. But at the end of the day, unless some people get shooken up on this team, maybe that's what they need to light a fire under them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the season, all those things are always on the table. There are changes every year. There's always changes in the coaching staff. Some are by their own volition. They take jobs elsewhere, and then we hear the, oh, nobody wants to work with McDermott stuff when they go and take another job for a promotion or something. And then you have the firings and, you know, changes. And those things happen every year under the surface. Sometimes you know a little bit more about it. Sometimes you don't. But nobody really focuses on it unless it's really a coordinator. And I think those are the ones, and I understand what you're saying, though, but I will tell you, though, that at the end of the year, those things, you know, get evaluated. You're right. Not something that happens at this point in time. Let's go to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Sal. Listen to a lot of these calls. I'm glad I'm not near a bridge, for God's sakes. I mean, Sal, to me, this is what you call a football season. I mean, last week our offense looked dominating. Looked dominating, and then we didn't look good at all in yesterday's game. Our defense looked terrible last week. It looked good. It looked, you know, more than good this week. This is just a football season, and it's been a topsy turvy season. I get it. I get the frustration and all that stuff. But Sal, I've said this once. I'll say it a million times. Just get me to the playoffs. This season I think the Bills just want to get back to get into the playoffs. And once they get there, Sal, I will take them against anybody, especially this season. I'll take them as long as we got Josh back there. Games were going to look good. Games were going to look bad. But I am telling you, this team is still as good as we've always thought they're going to be. And I'll take my chances with them in the playoffs. That's all I got, Sal.
I would say that if the Bills get to the playoffs, and they should, I agree that anything can happen. When you have Josh Allen, other teams have injuries too, anything can happen. I think the difference is, Billy, and I appreciate your optimism, I do, and I love when you call and you're like that. I think, though, the difference is people see that this team has too many flaws and inconsistencies compared to other teams we've seen in the past get to certain points, you know? All right, Jerry.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hold on, Bruce. Hold on. I'll get right back to you and your phone calls, 803-0550. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We have open phone lines as well. We'll do that after this timeout here on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR. All right, back here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get to more of your phone calls. I put a little note in the chat just to let you guys know that I'm there for you, thinking about you, watching you, I should say. And I appreciate you being there for me and everybody else and talking along here. So we got Bass, Buff Bills 83, Paul Wentz, UAV Doug. We got 999, Deox, lots of other guys coming in, and guys and gals, I should say. Joey, thank you. I don't know. Sal got roped in a media plant for the Bean team. They're way out. I have no idea what that means. That's okay, though. Thank you very much for coming along. Joey as well. Everybody, including Jerry and Kenmore, who's up next on the phone lines. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey. Good morning, Sal. Before I get to my main point, the killer last night to me was the Dawkins penalty. I think they had a design Allen run on that 4th-and-1, which times he scored on from 12 and 15 yards from a spread formation. And at the very least, he gets a first down down to the 12 or the 10, use their timeout. You get three plays into the end zone. There's still a really good chance to win that game. But 4th-and-6 is way different. That's a huge, huge mistake, which leads me into my problem with this team. And it's not just last night. I'd like to know the percentage of times we snap the ball with under 2 seconds on the play clock. We seem so disorganized at with the game clock. The defense knows you have to snap it and you're running out of time. You've given the defense more rest. Our offensive players have to hold their position slightly longer, which leads to some motion penalties. There's so much in that that we seem like it's a panic. When it gets under 4 seconds, it's always, even at home, it gets to 0-1, and it bothers me because it feels rushed.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, I agree. At times that happens. I think the issue happens when they come out of the huddle late, because sometimes it's designed to, where Josh lets it go down because he wants to take the full breadth of what he can to see what he's doing. And he knows where it is, and he knows he's got 3-2-1. And I have no problem with that. What I had a problem with last night was that 4th down, the play gets in late, and then you get out of the huddle late. Now you don't have time to see everything for 6, 7, 10 seconds, and then you have to snap the ball. So, no, you're not wrong about that. And it's happened on the road a little bit too much. Even at home, yep, I agree. But sometimes it's designed to snap it with 3, 2, or 1 left because Josh is taking his time to see everything, and there's nothing wrong with that. Last night, the operation of getting the call in late is why Josh said after the game he was seen on the sideline saying, "What are we doing?" It was the play coming in late. He should have, he said, call the timeout. And I agree with you 100%, Jerry, that 4th-and-1 false start on Deion was just a killer. It really was. And Deion took ownership of it after the game, so everybody knows he did. He said he's got to be better. That's on him. He prides himself on not making mistakes like that and, you know, being the best, as he said, but he wasn't in that moment, you know, and he knows it. He knows it, but you can't let that happen. You just can't in that situation. Bruce in North Tonawanda. Thanks for holding, Bruce. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, Sal. First time caller to your show. Thank you.
You got it.
I wanted to digress for a minute. The three penalties on the kickoffs, two by number 38 and one by number 35. I'm pulling a Herb Street because I don't know the names. But I want to confirm with you, when 4th down calls are made, is it the offensive coordinator that makes the call or is it the coach?
Do you mean like the decision to go or the play?
Yeah, the decision to go, yes.
Oh, it's the coach. I mean, the head coach controls all of that. Head coach always decides if they're going to kick a field goal, punt, or go for it.
Okay, so my point being is that we're down by 4, and it's 4th-and-2, and I think it's just before Josh says, "What are we doing?" That play where they try to run up the middle and get completely blown up. If they would have kicked that field goal, they're down by 1. The defense plays pretty decent in the second half. They give up 3 points. And Now you're not even looking for a touchdown. You're looking for a game-winning field goal, and this whole mess could have been avoided simply by one darn call. And the decision that I mean, McDermott used to be the guy that never goes for it on fourth down. Now he's doing it like like maybe a little bit too much, I guess. I don't really know what to say. I'd like to see your thoughts on it.
You're talking, let me just go back to it again. Let me just get everything straight here. You're talking about the fourth down in the fourth quarter, correct?
Yes, correct. Fourth and two, okay. Where they tried to run up the middle and got blown up completely.
Yeah, so fourth and two. Bills go for it. It's fourth and one, actually, at the Houston 23.
Fourth and one,
and they get the negative 2 yards. My thought is there at that point in time, the game is 23-16. Since 23-16, you're down seven. What does a field goal really do for you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was 6 points. My fault.
No.
My bad.
You're down seven. I go for it there, too. It's fourth and one. You got to go for it there.
All right. My bad.
Yeah, I hear your point. You know what really hurt him, though, Bruce? To further your point, you're not in that situation, and then you have that decision if you make the extra point on the first touchdown.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. No problem. I'm glad we worked through it. Thanks for the phone call, and thanks for being a first-time caller. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More of your phone calls on the way. The second hour, the 11 a.m. hour of the Extra Point Show. I will get Paul Hamilton at 11:30. I do want to ask Paul's thoughts on Terry Pegula and his approach to the Sabres, his approach to the Bills, because a lot of you have a thought that he's too patient with the Sabres, but I look back at all the GMs and head coaches, and I don't know if that's correct. And I just want to get Paul's thoughts on that, but that's at 11:30. Sabres do play tonight. We'll have that for you on WGR, of course, and of course, more of your phone calls. So stick with me here. Good first hour of the show after a tough loss last night in Houston for the Buffalo Bills. We're talking about it on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.